Blog Talk Radio.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Shabbat Shalom, brothers and sisters. This is Blueprint for Life. I am V, the preacher, and this is a day that the Most High has made. Let's get ready to go before our Abba in prayer before we do anything else.
Thank you.
Hallowed be thy name, may thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in Shemaim. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Father, I thank you for this day. It's a day that you brought me upon this earth, delivered my spirit into this body to give you worship and praise, and I do that on this day. I love you, I honor you, appreciate you, worship you, bow down before you, and all that we do, we endeavor to do unto the kingdom of Shemaim of heaven, for the immortality that awaits those that are faithfully keeping the commandments. Pray for my brothers and sisters stretched throughout the four corners of the earth. Pray for those that are lost and confused, that they'll be enlightened, eyes open, and come back to your statutes, laws, and commandments. I worship you, honor you, and praise you for what you've already done and what you're going to do. Thank you for what you've given us and that you've taken away in your infinite wisdom. Bless those that are listening. Bless those that are teaching. Bless those that are preaching. May it fall on good ground, that our faith might be increased, so that when you come back, you will find faith in the earth. I love you, honor you, and praise you once again. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Praises to the Most High, song written by myself and the wife, giving praise to the Most High, and that's our prayer, that you will endure until the end. Don't be fazed by what's taking place around you right now. That's to discourage you, keep you in a stupor, make you turn your eyes away from the Most High. That's not something we should be desiring to do in this hour, turning our back away from the Most High. I give all praises due to the Most High. I give all praise to today's birthday for me. I know we Hebrews like to say born day. I don't know why. We just don't like to associate ourselves with our birthdays. I think the only thing we should do is stay away from pagan customs and not idolize ourselves or the day. But we can commemorate another year that He's kept us healthy and safe and been good to us. We would not know the age of some of the patriarchs, the ancestors that have gone on, if we didn't commemorate this day. So I give all praise and honor to the Most High for another year. And I'm not going to be on long, but I have to make sure that I do my assignment on this day, not a day of leisure and thinking like, oh, I just take the day off because it's supposed to be a day of birth. This is a day that when you're born, that you should look to be in service to other people and to give from the life that you've been given and the breath that's in your lungs and your body. Give the Messiah, give our Father, Abba, Most High Yah, worship and praise. And that's what we look to do. I'm just going to do some reading today from a few scriptures. Not going to get to an elaborate, deep precept upon precept lesson. I just want to come on for a brief moment. And I think it's important to encourage the saints. He said, ever so more, as we see the day approaching, that we should exhort and encourage one another. This is not a day to talk about what the gossip is, the highlights in the news, the wars and rumors of wars. If you pay attention to the scriptures, everything that's unfolding is written in this Bible, which is full of prophecies that have come true. And the main thing is that when the disciples asked Yeshua, how will we know the sign of your coming, before he began his dissertation of prophecies that would transpire, he said, make sure no man deceives you. And my prayer is that people will wake up and not be deceived by science, provocateurs, politics, these wars and the propaganda that's everywhere. So it's important that we begin to walk in the Spirit and utilize our discernment. Utilize the discernment that the Ruach gives you even more so today. You have to have discernment in what you purchase, buy, where you go, where you spend your leisure time. Nothing can be cavalier, nonchalant. You don't have the luxury of living like that. Serendipitous, that luxury is over with. He said, in all your ways, acknowledge me, and I will direct your path. You should consult him before you do anything, in the day or in the evening. That is something that's my message to you today on this here birthday. Consult him first. Move not in your own wisdom, and don't even be led by sometimes good intentions, and your heart will get you in trouble when it's not the will of the Father for you to do something that you feel sorry for somebody else, and you're intervening in their situation or problems. These people may be up under a curse. There's something that they may have done in their life that have put them in that situation, and they're reaping what they've sown, and you're trying to be their salvation, and there's nothing scriptural about that. So we have to be careful of that and be mindful of that. Real quick, I'm going to talk today about lawlessness and immorality's end. And we are vastly approaching the end of immorality and lawlessness. As we can see now, this whole earth is steeped in immorality. The synagogue of Satan has made immorality popular amongst the heathens and the Gentiles. Lawlessness, popular amongst the heathen and Gentiles. Nobody wants to live according to the laws. It's YOLO, you only live once. It's what was on Jay-Z's t-shirt that he got from Albert Pike and them. Do whatever you feel like. Don't feel guilty. Have sex with whatever and whomever you want. Party till you drop. Have no restraints. Lose all your morals. So that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today as I do this reading. And as I said, I won't be long. I want to read from the Wisdom of Solomon, but before I do that, let's look at some scriptures on lawlessness. 2 Corinthians 6 and 14 says, do not be bound together with unbelievers. I had to pause on that because I want you to listen to that. You're not supposed to be working with them, partnering with them, hanging out with them. People who don't believe, there should be no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. For what partnership, the scripture continues, for what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness? Let's go to another precept, 1 John 3:4. Everyone who practices sin, as this world is doing, also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. It's really a shame that the church tells you that the commandments are done away with because the church is preaching a satanic concept to so-called believers who are nothing but religious, who do not know the Father and he does not know them. Proverbs, I believe it's 28 and 9 or 19, it says that he who turns his ear away from hearing the law, his prayer is even an abomination unto the Most High. He doesn't even hear your prayers if you turn your ear from hearing about the law. Matthew 24 and 12 told us in the last days, lawlessness is increased and most people's love will grow cold. Lawlessness produces a lack of love for people, legitimate concern, affection. People are cold and callous nowadays. And being lawless is not having any morals or barriers to define yourself or to stay within the parameters of something. Why everyone wants to just do whatever they will, I just don't get it. And it's what produces, well, of course, lawlessness is sin, but with the people with the sexual immorality is producing all types of various diseases amongst the children that are birthed from that, amongst the people who are indulging in those type of sins. There's all types of venereal diseases out there, cancers, uterine cancers, and these types of sin come with a judgment, and that judgment is that of sickness. 2 Peter 2:8, one more. For by what he saw and heard, that righteous man, while living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day by their lawless deeds. You need to know that you who keep not the laws and are immoral will be tortured when you leave this earth. The important thing to understand is that you have an eternal soul. And what you're doing in this matrix called your life determines where you will spend eternity in reality. Reality is the leaving of this place. Reality is that your soul never sleeps or dies, and you should realize that, because when you go to sleep at night, your spirit carries on and takes you into other realms, and you have dreams. You're talking, you're fighting, you're eating, you're doing all these things while your body's asleep in a so-called suspended dead state. That's what you need to know, is that person, when a person so-called passes away, that soul is eternal. And how you live your life determines where that soul will spend eternity, in tortures, judgment, or in paradise, awaiting eternal life. Let me read one more about lawlessness. Matthew 23:27-28. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. So you too outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Never judge a book by its cover. We got a lot of people playing church, playing woke, playing Hebrew, playing camp Christianity. It's all kinds of stuff, but they have not been changed on the inside because they have no parameters, no barriers. They are not keeping the law. And it takes a while for people to learn the laws in order to adapt to them. I know people who've come into the knowledge and understanding that they're Hebrews, but they have not learned all of the laws, the dietary laws, how to conduct themselves, how to dress, what to wear, how to talk, the holy days, how to conduct yourself on the holy days, how to conduct yourself with other people. And a lot of you need teachers. A lot of you need to lose your arrogance and pride and humble yourself. One thing that really does bother me is when Christian pastors who've been pastoring, preaching in Christianity, which is false, a falsehood, come to the knowledge of the truth, and they want to remain in that pompous, pious position of leadership and authority, and they don't know the scriptures as it pertains to the law. They're caught up into understanding Christianity and its tenets and its basis, which is false. It takes at least 3 years for people to adapt to this. It took Peter 3.5 years before he was converted. He walked with Christ. Who do you think you are? I digress. Let's move on. I want to read a little bit more reading from the Apocrypha, 14 books removed in 1776. And I'm going to read from the Wisdom of Solomon chapter 3 and read a little bit of this, and then I'm going to go to the Wisdom of Solomon chapter 5. And this is glorious to know that when lawlessness and immorality comes to an end, we're looking at the end game and the changing of the world, the end of Esau's wicked rule, because I could really go on this. I could go to the book of Obadiah, the Tanakh, the prophets, because the majority of the prophetic books were written for this last generation, the end time days that we all know now that we're living in. Everybody knows. We are vastly approaching the end game, which is a transition, a transformation to Jacob, hallelujah, Israel, the 12 tribes reigning and ruling in the millennial kingdom. We're living to live again. Wisdom Solomon chapter 3, verse 1. But the souls of the righteous are in the hands of Yah, and there shall no torment touch them. In the sight of the unwise, they seem to die, and their departure is taken for misery, and they're going from us to be utter destruction. They are in peace, those that have moved on. For though they be punished in the sight of men, yet is their hope full of immorality. They hope that the righteous were punished, but their hope is all immortality. Verse 5, and having been a little chastised, they shall be greatly rewarded, for the Most High proved them and found them worthy for himself. Let's go to the Wisdom of Solomon chapter 5, reading from verse 1. Then shall the righteous man stand in great boldness. Let me slow down on this first verse because it speaks volumes. Pay attention. Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 1. Then shall the righteous man, that's a law keeper, stand in great boldness before the face of such as have afflicted him and made no account of his labors. This is referencing the end times and the end of lawlessness and the end of immorality. When that day comes, those that have been keeping the laws and commandments will stand in boldness. And then what does verse 2 say? And when the world sees it, when they see it, when people see it, they shall be troubled with terrible fear and shall be amazed at the strangeness of his salvation. So far beyond all that they looked for. The hope that we are holding fast to by keeping the commandments, as Revelation said, here's the patience of the saints. The patience of the saints are they that keep the commandments.
when this paradigm shift comes and this transition happens, people will not have a chance to turn back and repent. And they're going to see the amazement of your salvation as you stand bold and say, I told you so. You won't even have to say that because you're going to shine. Isaiah 60th chapter says, arise and shine, for thy light has come. People are going to run to your, let me go ahead and pull that up real quick. Give me 1 second. Isaiah the 60th chapter, first verse, arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord, the Most High Yah, shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to thy brightness of thy rising. Now let's go back. This is from Solomon 5, and read that again. Verse 2, when they see it, they shall be troubled with fear and shall be amazed at the strangeness of his salvation, so far beyond all that they looked for. When you put those two together, Isaiah 60 and this, let's go back to Isaiah 60 again. Gross darkness is going to cover the earth right before Yeshua comes back. But the Most High is going to rise on us, back to Wisdom of Solomon 5, and we're going to stand up. Because why? Thessalonians says, we shall see him as he is, and we shall be transformed in the twinkling of an eye, for we shall be just like him. What inside you is going to help cause that transformation? Your righteousness, your having the Ruach inside you, and your keeping of the commandments and the laws. In doing these things that you do that you take for granted, like keeping the Sabbath and everything, no, these things are changing you on the inside right now. These things are purging you and sanctifying you. This process is changing you. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. What's the other scripture I want? That the Ruach is a regenerator, I believe that's in Thessalonians as well. Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, that when the Ruach comes, it regenes you, it changes you. It's as simple as when Yeshua said, you must be born again. That means a transformation, a change. So what's on the inside, which Jeremiah said, it's like fire shut up in my bones. When Christ comes back, that's on the inside will come out to the outside. And Isaiah 60 says it best, arise and shine, for your light has come. And now it's on you, because what you're seeing, your Savior, is now manifesting in you. And the light is only shining on the righteous who kept the laws and who were morally correct. The immoral, see, sin and lawlessness and immorality cannot stand in the presence of Yah. It can't even exist in the same room. It's just like when you turn on the light, darkness dissipates. There's no darkness. But darkness is there when there's no light. And what did Yeshua say? I am the way, the truth, and the light. Isaiah 60:3 says, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light. What is thy light? It's Yeshua inside you, because you've kept his word and he is the word. In the beginning was the word was Yah, was with Yah and was Yah. He is the Rhema, the living word from the Father's mouth. I hope you are connecting these dots. Keeping that word, keeping those commandments, is him in you waiting to be birthed and born and rise and shine at the end of days. Yes, it's getting dark out here, people, but you are the light and you are the salt. You are in many instances and cases, you're the only reason why some places haven't been destroyed yet, because you're there. As soon as Lot was taken and his family out of Sodom and Gomorrah, it was destroyed. Noah, his family, take them out. I'm about to destroy. You might be the light of your city and you don't even know it, of your town, of your neighborhood. That's how much power you possess when you're a law keeper. You're walking with the Father.
You keeping the laws in this dark place of this earth and not living in fear is the kingdom of God within you walking on this earth. When Yeshua died, he said, I have removed the veil of the temple, and now you can boldly approach the throne. We can go straight to the Father on our knees and ask him whatever we want boldly because the price has been paid. And because we love him and we keep his commandments, he hears our cry. Isaiah 58 tells us that. Because we're commandment keepers, we fast and keep the laws. He said, I'm going to hear your cry. I won't let you be sick. I'll heal your bodies. There's privileges to this. Isaiah 16:4 says, lift up your eyes round about and see all them that are gathering themselves together. They are coming to thee, and your sons shall come from far, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, and the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. You know what I just read to you? Your reparations. Because they're not coming while you're in the darkness of this earth. They're going to come when you're transformed and get ready to go into the kingdom as his people that he's always loved, and he pulls back the curses that we're all up under. We'll be at the end of the last containment, which has been the daughter of Babylon, that we've been under this judgment. You don't need reparations right now in Satan's kingdom that the whole world has been turned over to. He's running this little area right now by default. And the Father knows that if you got reparations right now, you would, whatever you struggle with now would be magnified 1,000 times. That your reparations will, let me read that again, verse 5 of Isaiah 60. When all this happens and the light comes upon you and you've been transformed and Christ comes back, then thou shalt see and flow together. Northern kingdom, southern kingdom, 2-6 coming together as a people. And thine heart shall fear and be enlarged. Fear, yeah. Not fear of the world and Satan anymore. Like, oh my God, this really happened. He came to get us. It's real. Because some people's faith is lacking. I'm already knowing that I will be shocked, but not totally surprised, because I'm standing on his word. He said he's going to do it. Let me keep reading. Because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto you, and the forces, that means their power, their strength, their money, shall come unto thee. And when you continue to read chapter 60, it starts to talk about everything that the different countries are going to bring to you, the gold, the silver, the incense. People are going to repent for the way they've treated you as a people, because they can't even believe you are the people right now. All right, let's go back to the wisdom of Solomon, because I was supposed to just be reading the fifth chapter, but everything started to multiply. And that's how the Ruach does. So chapter 5, Wisdom of Solomon, verse 1. Then shall the righteous man stand in great boldness before the face of such that have afflicted him. Yeah, these Gentiles, what they're doing to us, Esau, Edomites. And they made no account of our labors. They didn't even pay attention to how we built this place and how they built this so-called kingdom of Babylon off the sweat and blood of our ancestors. Verse 2, when they see it, they shall be troubled with terrible fear and shall be amazed at the strangeness of our salvation, so far beyond all that they looked for. We're going to be supernaturally transformed to be the people. It's going to be too late for those that have hated our guts by then. Verse 3, and they repenting and groaning the anguish of spirit shall say within themselves, this was he whom we had sometimes in derision and a proverb of reproach. That proverb was spoken of in Deuteronomy's 28th chapter when they called us by these surnames. You know the N-word and how they spit upon us and look down at us. And then we find in Psalms 83 how they are all in contract, in covenant. The scripture says confederate.
against us. That means every nation, the United Nations, they're all in agreement and contract to keep us down as a people. They even teach in Freemasonic circles that your main goal is to keep the black man down because he once ruled this world. And now that we have the advantage, his riches, his wealth, we have the gold from Solomon's temple. It's up in the Vatican. We have his books. We have his information and his history. Don't ever let him come into prominence or we lose everything we have. That's how confederate they are against us. You deal with it on a low level with racism every day. But at the higher levels of politics and kingdoms, countries and presidents, they know what the history was and they know what the prophecies are, and they're doing everything to circumvent that. And the best way they know how to keep us from coming into prominence is to keep you breaking the commandments and the laws, because they know as long as you don't keep the laws, your God, who's the creator of this world, won't come back to you. They're hoping to win by default again and have you break the commandments as Adam and Eve did that put us in this predicament. Yeshua came back for the house of Israel. He said that I came but for the lost sheep of Israel to redeem them from these curses and be the ultimate sacrifice and shed my blood for them so that they can repent and have mercy and grace until I come back again. So they're confederate. Smile in your face if they hate your guts because that's not their God. Let's read verse 3 again. And they repenting and groaning for anguish of spirit shall say within themselves, this was he whom we have sometimes in derision and a proverb of reproach. We fools. This is how they're going to talk when this manifestation comes. Because nobody wants to believe we're the people. I can't stand all these nations right now doing replacement theology and inseminating themselves in the scriptures and saying they are the children of Israel. And I don't even like when you Israelites, when the strangers come and fellowship with us and start keeping the commandments, you tell them they're now Israelites. No, they're still Gentiles. They're the strangers amongst us that get to come, but they won't be in the inner court. They'll be on the outer court. Scripture tells you that clearly, that if they don't come up to the inner court for the Feast of Tabernacles to worship our Savior amongst the Israelites, when they go back to their land that they come from, that he's letting that remnant that's spoken of in Amos 9 and 14, that remnant of people that will make it through of other nations, he said, I will give them no water on their land if they don't come up for the Feast of Tabernacles. Don't make me pull up that scripture, but I will pull up Amos 9 and 14 real quick so that you understand that remnant. Amos 9, let's get that real quick. Let's see. Amos 9 and 14, and I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine, therefore, and they shall also make gardens. No, I want Amos 12. Amos 9 and 12. Let me jump up to 11 so I can put it in context. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David, that's the house of Jacob, Israel, that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. This is all talking about the same prophetic reformation, transformation, and salvation of the Israelites. Then read verse 12. And that he said that they may possess the remnant of Edom and of all the heathens. He's calling the people who are of other nations that get to make it in. They're the remnant of Edom, that's Esau. And of all the heathens, that's those Gentiles, which are called by my name, said the Most High that doeth this. Let me read that again. He's going to raise up, verse 11, Jacob, the house of Israel, and he's going to do it that we might possess the remnant of Edom and all of the heathens that get to make it in. Because those that took us into captivity shall go into captivity. They all have to pay a price. You're not going to be sojourning amongst us and kicking it with us. We're going to get an opportunity once and for all to be away from you. You'll be able to come in on the holy days and worship and praise with us, but we're finally going to get a chance to be by ourselves because you're always infiltrating everything we do. So there's a remnant in Amos 9 and 12 of Edomites and heathens that are going to make it in. Don't try to put yourself on equal footing. because it's a subtle form of your little racism and white supremacy that's still creeping through. Because you refuse to believe that we are the people. And that's why you're going to be in like Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 2. When they see it, they shall be troubled with terrible fear. That's those who are keeping the commandments that are of other nations too, because they don't want to believe we're the people. Because I always hear them inseminate themselves in there and say, we're the people. The 12 tribes went into Europe and became Irish. And scripture said Jacob cannot lose his color. Jacob will be black. I don't care how many times they try to whitewash out through rape and everything else as they did to our people. Jacob is black. Let me see if I can find that real quick. Bear with me. So that it doesn't sound like I'm just saying that. I'm not going to find it right now because and the reason I know I'm not going to find it because of the sources that I'm using right now. They're going to try to block it out if you try and go to Google. So I'll post it in the chats or comment section once I get off here, because normally I can quickly pull up these scriptures, but I can see it's, you know, something like that is being blocked out. But it was, the scripture references the fact that Jacob is, you know, he will always remain of that melanated hue, of that color. You know, people try to say, no, he's this, he's that, and he can become this through intermixing and change. And so, because people are going around saying that Israel left black, yeah, that's true, as President Nasser of Egypt said back in the 40s. And, but he said, I'll never accept them because they came back white. And many people preach this lie that they were transformed, like mysteriously, miraculously turned white. Come on, people. I digress. Let's go back to the Wisdom of Solomon. It says in verse 4, we fools, the people who looking at us like, oh my God, they're the people, accounted his life as madness and his end to be without honor. How is he numbered among the children of Yah? And his lot is among the saints. These are the people? Therefore, you mean these people that play basketball and twerk? Verse 6, therefore have we earned, I'm not saying that they're going to make it in, these twerkers. I'm just saying how they demonize our community because they glorify the worst of us and they magnify it in the sight of the people and try to get us to all emulate the behavior that they put on television and say, this is your life. I'm so sick of people telling me that hip-hop culture is our culture. That is not our culture. Killing and shooting and drill rap about violence and anger and popping mollies, that's not our culture. They're creating a false narrative, but I digress. Verse 5, how is he numbered among the children of Yah, and his lot is among the saints? Verse 6, therefore have we erred from the way of truth. Yes, you have. And the light of righteousness has not shined unto us. No, it has not. And the sun of righteousness rose not upon us. No, it did not. You did think so because of Christianity and its white supremacy background. Yes, you did think that. Verse 7, we weary ourselves in the way of wickedness and destruction. Yea, we have gone through deserts where there lay no way. But as for the way of the Most High, we have not known it. No, you have not. With your offshoot of the Vatican, of Roman Catholicism, your Reformation churches from Martin Luther, all your different Mormons, Jehovah Witnesses, Scientology, Methodists, and all that stuff, and your Christianity. No. And the majority of you were all Freemasons serving two gods at the same time? No, absolutely not. Verse 8, you say, they will say, what have pride profited us? Because that's exactly what you were operating in pride, which is supremacy doctrine. Or what good hath riches with our vaunting brought us? All those things are passed away like a shadow and as a post that hasted by. And as a ship that passeth over the waves of the water, which when it is gone by the trace thereof cannot be found, neither the pathway of the keel in the waves. Or as when a bird hath flown through the air, there is no token of her way to be found. Saints, let me pause for a second. I'm reading to you the end of lawlessness and immorality. This is how it will speak when it has come to an end. All this stuff will just be put away. What I'm reading now should make you rejoice as being a patient saint. A patient saint is a commandment-keeping saint that's waiting for the return of our Savior. But the light, I continue, but the light air being beaten with the stroke of her wings and parted with the violent noise and motion of them is passed through. And therein afterwards no sign where she went is to be found. There'll be wiped unrighteousness, immorality, lawlessness, wiped out, destroyed. Verse 12, or like as when an arrow is shot at a mark, it parteth the air, which immediately cometh together again, so that a man cannot know where it went through. That's just how serious it's going to be when he wipes out the sin that's on the face of this earth and he purges this place before he brings down a new heaven and a new earth. Verse 13, even so we in like manner, as soon as we were born, began to draw to our end. As soon as you're born and had no sign of virtue to show, but were consumed in our own wickedness. For the hope of the ungodly is like dust that is blown away with the wind, like a thin froth that is driven away with the storm, like as the smoke which is dispersed here and there with the tempest and passeth away, as the remembrance of a guest that tarrieth but a day. We are not going to even remember, nor will they be able to hold on to their history and the things that they've done to us. This recompense is going to be so serious. And the eradication of sin and Esau and Amalekites and these wish people eradicated. Synagogue of Satan, gone, evil, sin, wiped out. Verse 17. No, let's go to verse 15. But the righteous live forevermore. Their reward also is with the Most High, and the care of them is with the Most High. Therefore shall they receive a glorious kingdom and a beautiful crown from the Lord's hand. For with his right hand shall he cover them, us, the ones who are rising and shining, and with his arm shall he protect them, Israel, and he shall take him his jealousy for complete armor. He's going to protect us, no more harm to come to us, and make the creature his weapon for the revenge of his enemies, the sinful people. He shall put on righteousness as a breastplate, us, and true judgment instead of a helmet. Because 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, tells us that we're going to judge angels and the world. Verse 19, he shall take holiness. Holiness is being kodesh. Being kodesh is being sanctified, set apart. What makes you set apart? Being a keeper of the law, changing the way you dress, your head coverings, being humble, humility. He said he will take holiness for an invincible shield. Verse 20. His severe wrath shall he sharpen for a sword, and the world shall fight with him against the unwise. Then shall the right-aiming thunderbolts go abroad, and from the clouds as from a well-drawn bow shall they fly to the mark. And hailstones full of wrath shall be cast as out of a stone bow, and the water of the sea shall rage against them, and the flood shall cruelly drown them. Yea, a mighty wind shall stand up against them, and like a storm shall blow them away. Thus iniquity shall lay waste the whole earth, and ill-dealing shall overthrow the thrones of the mighty. So we call that the end of lawlessness and end of immorality. Hallelujah. I'm going to get ready to close out. I'm going to read something from the Wisdom of Sirach just to encourage you. Then I'm going to enjoy the rest of my Shabbat on my birthday. Wisdom of Sirach, reading from the 5th chapter, 1st verse. Do not rely on your wealth or say, I have the power. Do not rely on your strength in following the desires of your heart. Do not say, who can prevail against me? For the Lord will exact punishment. That means lose your pride. Don't let the things I've just read to you that will happen for you get you lifted up in pride to arrogance. Verse 4, do not say, I have sinned, yet what has happened to me? For the Lord is slow to anger. Do not be so confident of forgiveness that you add sin on top of sin. Verse 6, do not say, his mercy is great. My many sins, he will forgive me. Saints, we can't be like this. For mercy and anger are alike are with him. His wrath comes to rest on the wicked. Do not delay turning back to the Most High. Do not put it off day after day. For suddenly his wrath will come forth at the time of vengeance. You will perish. Do not rely on deceitful wealth, for it will be no help on that day of wrath. All praises to the Most High. Be encouraged, saints. Stay the course. There's an end coming, and we're getting there really quick. No man knows the day or the hour, but you can sense. We know the time of season, and we're all sensing it in our spirit and souls that, you know, Satan's trying to deceive us, and he's trying to duplicate the prophecies in the Bible and force things so that we alter things. But you need to know that they're also trying to bring in their own Messiah, which is known as the Antichrist. I know people telling you the Antichrist is a system. No, that Bible says the man of sin will be revealed. When it says the man of sin, that's what it means. I'm tired of people taking away from the word and saying, oh, there's no Antichrist, you're being deceived, this and that. No, you're being deceived. A lot of you were deceived and taking the jab juice. So just make sure you're not deceived and don't do anything to your temple that he wouldn't want you to do. I'm not worried about all these various frequencies, because if you go to the prior lessons I taught, you have a hedge around you like Job. You have divine protection that protects you from the 5G, the frequencies, and what they're trying to do and target your body through artificial intelligence and algorithms. Stay fast the course. Keep the word in you. Pray. Keep the holy days and honor the Father and be humble and watch your mouth. The only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it, because truth is a journey and not a destination. I'm V the Preacher. This has been my time. I say Shabbat Shalom. Hallelujah.
In your presence, fullness of joy. I need your word, see me through. Safely carry me into. In your presence, holy presence. In your presence, holy, holy, in your presence, I'm made whole. In your presence, wholeness of joy. Glory, honor, when I'm with you. Safety, salvation, next to you. In your presence, holy presence, holy, holy, holy presence. I wanna be lost in your presence.